From years of anxiety to warrior and mentor, Bradley Robinson created the Anxiety Project to help you end your anxiety naturally. Let's mold the new you and let's end anxiety together.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Anxiety Project podcast. Welcome to the community. On episode 279, we're diving into setbacks, failure. These naturally occur when you step outside of your comfort zone, when you are met with the top tier of your tolerance and you're trying to push beyond that tier, you are going to meet that resistance. You are going to experience a setback. And, you know, a setback is, well, that what that means is, well, you establish some sort of goal and aim in your life. And so the step back means that you've stepped back from obtaining that goal. You've stepped off the path. But have you really stepped off the path? Or did you just come to realize that the setback is the place where you just don't want to be? And it's this acknowledgement of this place where you don't want to be. So let's talk about this. And the first thing I want to say is that David Goggins says this so brilliantly in one of his podcasts. He says that a setback and failure, he doesn't like calling it that. He likes calling it attempts. The reason you fell short is because the bar is positioned above your level of tolerance. That's it. Beyond your previous standards. The average person continues along their plateau of comfort, but you are the one that decided to shift paths outside of that norm. You are the one who decided to shift their path outside of your own comfort, your own standards. And so for me, I was attracted to the unusual, unshackled people who defy odds, who chose to walk this strange path to make something of themselves. They decided that their identity and their way of being within culture did not match with this underlying desire and this push, this drive, this movement towards something greater. And we all experience that. We can't help but experience that. It's like the burning bush in the Exodus story. It just calls forth and something speaks to you. It glimmers in the distance. And we're attracted to these unusual people. It makes sense. But when you begin to walk this path of the unusual, you're going to get hit with all sorts of walls. You're going to question your path. You're going to fall short of the ideal. But it's all part of this. The first layer of your awakened self is this curiosity phase, being curious, trying to sink your teeth into something you just don't understand, the studying of people that call forth more from within, your potential. Now, I remember back in the day, I stumbled upon Wim Hof, and something about his energy. He's marching to the beat of his own drummer. He decided to detach culture and sacrifice the cultural narrative. And the way he talked, the way he describes his journey, the adventure that he put forth for himself, attracted me. I wanted to go on this adventure. I was looking for that adventure in drugs, alcohol, pornography, and attention and fame, money. I was looking for that. but I fell short all the time. The adventure really is when you go out of your comfort zone and you get scarred, you get bruised. And it's the humility of that. It's this decision to not walk the path culture really wants from you. I grew up with this idea that as soon as I reach a certain age, I gotta go to this school. As soon as I reach this age, I gotta graduate. As soon as I reach this age, I got to get a job. As soon as I reach this age, I have to have a certain status, right? Or a house. But then I realized when I was suffering at my deepest that what I needed most was to actually detach myself from the narrative. The narrative culture was telling me and the narrative within my own head. The narrative I was telling myself, I needed to focus on me, on myself. I needed to rekindle this drive, but it's not just that. I needed to reinvent myself completely. And so this first layer of your awakened self is being curious, being humble, studying people who bring forth some sort of, you know, curiosity, who bring forth that intrigue. And, you know, you have to, and that's because you have to step outside of what you already know to find those people. That's the thing. And until I was searching this on YouTube, I was just searching up random, silly, funny videos that I just liked. In music videos, but until I was suffering, I was then looking up how do you solve suffering, and then you meet extraordinary people. And so you have to observe, you have to listen, you have to become a student to these people. The difference between those that stick to something and those that don't is their willingness to burn away parts of their identity they know is impeding on their development. What's most important is growth. How, and growth is your ability to tolerate the chaotic elements of existence, tolerating stress, developing ways to handle that. Because when somebody gets stressed by a whole host of things that happen in their life, what happens is their body gets depleted emotionally. It's like they run on backup power and they have a hard time computing things like reading, doing their work, dealing with family matters, because they're so drained. Because their stress system is on 24/7. So it makes sense that you're not retaining that much information from your work, from the reading, from your studying. It makes sense. It makes sense why you're not sleeping. Your cortisol and your adrenaline is active at night. It all makes sense, but you have to then step away and say, you know what? What do I need to minimize in order to help my body kind of regenerate some sort of battery power? Well, you have to sacrifice something in order to incorporate that time for yourself, the time to figure things out. You have to treat yourself like someone you actually care about. But, you know, let's look at this. Grade one, you know, the first step into this awakening is starting from square one. And so this is the fool stage. You have to be willing to be a fool. You have to be willing to stumble and make mistakes. And so the first mile of your run in your workout routine is going to feel foreign to you. The first minute in a meditation is going to feel daunting and you're going to feel like a fool. Is this for me? Right? Because that's how the mind works. The mind says, well, is this for me? This isn't for me. Is this really solving my problems? Is it working? This is difficult. I don't know about this. I'm not sure. And so you are introducing an unfamiliar habit into your already mapped out existence. So the unconscious makes sense, naturally goes, well, this is not what I'm used to. I have to use up more cognitive energy and, you know, being already depleted with anxiety, it doesn't want to do that, right? Because it just wants to just, you know, it just wants to not do anything because your body's already depleted. But here's the thing. In order to recharge, you're going to have to sit with yourself. You're going to have to learn to calm down and activate the parasympathetic nervous system, which is your rest and digest system. And believe me, you'll find out quite quickly, even though you're not accustomed to meditation, you're not accustomed to spending time away from the television, you're going to find that once you start to move the body and you exercise, once you start to sit with yourself, you're going to see a difference in the mind. The mind is going to be like, you know what? I'm starting to see something here. I'm starting to see another side of the coin. Because think about an anxiety sufferer where their focus is very narrow. They're only playing out the same patterns of their day-to-day. They're only seeing what they want to see. They're only meeting expectations that they expect. But outside of that, you go, well, there's this whole other world. This world of meditation, this world of spirituality, growth, you know, unwinding and like self-care, giving back to your higher self. And you can't take care of other people unless you take care of your higher self. I mean, look in the Harry Potter books, right? There's this magical world that the muggles don't know exists because they're not open enough. They're not open enough to see. They're not awake enough. The hero, Harry Potter, is awake and magical, and he's open to this whole other world of being where you can transcend your limit self into this limitless potential. And you have to go on this great adventure, which Harry certainly, he certainly does. He encounters the utmost malevolence, and you have to be awake enough and you have to be willing enough to confront that and for yourself to burn away the parts of you that you find quite unattractive. Burn away. So you're introducing unfamiliar habits into your life because you have this faith that what's in the unknown is what's required to be better. You just have to walk into the darkness. But to make a new habit a part of your life is repetition. So how do you want to be in your life? Have an idea and follow people. Follow people. Learn from people. That's square one. How did you solve this problem of anxiety? How did you solve this problem of mental depletion, stress, worry, being so damn hard on myself? How did you solve it? And so you will slip back into your old ways once you start to tread along this path because there's so much of you that has already built up a certain pattern. And so when you think, well, I'm going to introduce this pattern, January 1st, right? I'm going to go to the gym. And then you see yourself go to the gym one day and then you don't go for the next 2 weeks, right? It's like you fall back into comfort because these things are difficult. You have to stretch yourself. But that's how it is. But this is useful by slipping back. It's useful because you can then observe what life is like again without the meditation, without the strict diet or the exercise. And then this typically drives the person to want to jump back into the habit. I mean, once you go into the magical world, you come back to the muggle world and you're like, man, how did I even tolerate this world before? I got to go back to the magic world. I'm going to do whatever I can to get back there. So steering off the path strengthens your faith in what you're doing and what you need to do. It strengthens your faith of the path you steered off of. A setback is a great realization of where you want to be, where you want to remain in your life. Was the cheat meal worth it? The bar with the friends until 2 a.m. worth it? Was the cigarette worth it? Was the day of Netflix worth it? Was the pornography worth it? And hey, for me, I had to experience all of these setbacks. It took me a long time to recover from my pornography addiction. It took me a long time to unwind and separate myself from caffeine, things like smoking marijuana, things like hanging around negative friends, things like negative self-talk. It takes a while to challenge these certain ways of being. But once you get a taste of the other side of the habit you're attempting to break, that you have more control over these habits than you think. You just can't go back to the old routine without it having it haunt you. That you can be more. The fact that you wanted to shift gears in the first place tells you something about yourself. And this means something to you. So it means something. Take it seriously. And it's such a damn tragedy. And it's a disgrace to ignore this call of your potential. It'll haunt you. I remember the first time I came across this young man, my age, talking about pornography recovery. This was a long ago. This was years ago, before I even considered this, and I stumbled upon this video, and he was talking about how he's gone 500 days without pornography, and I couldn't believe it. It was baffling to me, and I laughed at this guy, but it haunted me. It stuck in my brain like a damn seed, and it sprouted into something, because I kept thinking about this guy, and you know, it starts with laughter and it starts with mocking. It starts with resistance. But then there's something about this. The fact that he could do something I can't. It's like this challenge. It's like he managed to move beyond. It's this idea that someone can do something difficult, that he's challenging the norms, because my norm was pornography, the norm of society and culture, the male archetype I was looking up to at the time was this sex-driven, alcohol-driven, party-driven male figure. That was my normal. And then this guy on YouTube defied that norm, challenged the norm, shook up that norm, went toe-to-toe with that norm. And I was like, so there's this other side. I don't have to live by these means, these principles, but I can, there's this path over here. And a lot of people don't like to see the other side. They want to stick to one path, but there's more than that. There's a path over here. What about that one? Are you going to acknowledge that? So that's part of the division in our culture today, is people want to stay in their lane and they don't want to acknowledge and challenge the lane that they're in. They're like, this is my lane, and if you criticize it, I'm going to laugh and mock and yell at you and cancel you. So look to the side. Look to the side. And so once you get a taste of the other side of the habits you're attempting to break, they haunt you. They haunt you, man. And this is the second layer of your awakened self, the stepping out of what's familiar, having a vision of who you'd like to be and making that clear to you every single day. I remember I wrote out a contract to myself saying, I want to recover from anxiety in 3 months and I'll do whatever it takes. And I signed it and I stuck it to my wall. And every day I woke up, I saw that contract that I'm in this new phase of my life, a new chapter. And it felt good. It felt good because it felt like, you know what, I actually have control over this, that, you know, things are changing, because the fact that I'm suffering every day is like, well, nothing's changing. The suffering and the pain is there. But the fact that things are changing, that I'm not going to settle, it actually gave me a lot of fuel. And so when you go down this path, you'll experience two steps forward and then one step back. But it is amazing how much your life changes when you make a 5% change every day. A vision is this very idea of the 5%. You have to have some sort of idea where you're going. A vision is that decision, that choosing to step off the path. It's a vague vision, but it's a pretty damn good vision. And that's the vision you have to adopt from the get-go. And to take a step back, it means you've already been stepping forward. That's the thing. Because you're aware that you stepped back, means that you've been stepping forward. And that's great. So acknowledge that. So when you feel guilty and when you feel ashamed for the step back, look towards the distance traversed up to this point. How far have you come? Like, did you go one day without doing the habit you're trying to break? Man, what an improvement. Because you've been doing it every day. Now you did it one day. That's an incredible improvement. You've just stepped so far into this direction. Compare yourself to the you before the first step. What were you like? And so the adventure always consists of scarring. When you step outside of comfort voluntarily with curiosity, you become the forager for new information. And the brain rewires itself. New circuits form. In a world where comfort is all too easy, step outside, and then in the darkness, you learn to find your way. Then you can be the guiding light for other people who then decide to take that leap out into the darkness. And that's where I'm going to leave you today on this podcast episode. Thank you, everyone, for being a supporter and being a listener. Make sure you rate and review this podcast on Spotify. I'd really appreciate it. I ask you from the bottom of my heart to do so that it can get out into the public sphere, because I know so many people today are suffering. Anxiety is on the rise. Please go over to the YouTube channel. I post videos there weekly. Become a member of this community. Share your comments. Read other people's stories of success down this path of recovery. It's no easy thing to do, but it's the greatest adventure of my life. I never dreamed of being a coach when I was younger. I was in the film industry in my 20s. This is what I wanted to do that. But then it brought me here because I saw within myself that potential blossom. I was always a failure. I'll tell you something. I was always a failure. I had no self-respect for myself. I couldn't believe I could stick to anything in my life. And so when I saw myself, you know, stepping towards things that was making me uneasy and survive panic attacks and, you know, contend with the evil demonic forces within me, I saw that I had more control over this, that if I just stumble forth on this path, then I could be a lot more. I could, you know, who knows who I could be and what I could be in the future. I remember sitting in a coffee shop and deciding to do a podcast. I was thinking, man, if one person listens, that'll be great. But what I really want to do is, well, share my experience, because I feel like I discovered a whole new magical world on the other side of this anxiety. But I also want to challenge myself to growth. And if I do a podcast every week, that means I have to sit down and write out a podcast and think about things deeply and read books and try and incorporate that information into my podcast. And so if I do a podcast weekly, then I'm stretching myself every week. And that's what I wanted to do. I could become a better speaker. I could become a better thinker. And if you listen to my old podcast from the beginning, you can tell the difference. Like, this is what I just wanted to do. I just wanted to grow. I just wanted to see what would happen if I can just read a book a week. Well, not a week, but if I could just work through a book, like a few pages every day, if I can just discipline myself, who knows? And that was my idea, just to read a little bit. You know, I wasn't shooting for the moon. I was just thinking, a little bit of reading here, maybe just sitting with myself here, writing some notes down, listening to some podcasts, listening to some people, mentors. And it just grew from there. It grew from these little seeds just being planted. That's all it was. Square one, watching a video and thinking, man, you know, what if? What if? That's it. That's really where it starts. That's the first layer. And that layer grows into this amazing sculpture. So what else are you going to do with your life other than this? Is there anything else worth doing? And I've discovered that for myself. I've discovered that, no, there's nothing else worth doing, really. Because to go to bed with a clear conscience every night is worth more than money. Rise above anxiety. I'll see you next time.
Brad's Powerful Anxiety Recovery Program is now available at unpluganxiety.com. The Anxiety Project Program is downloadable and puts the power of anxiety recovery in your own hands. Visit unpluganxiety.com for more details. Recovery starts now.